Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. Willie P. and Diesel here with you as we continue on a Thursday. We've done a lot with the baseball, did a little football, but today has kind of been our first real sink our teeth day into basketball, and it is in that vein that we are pleased to welcome in the head coach of the Clemson men's basketball team on a place where you can, of course, hear Clemson men's basketball right here on ESPN Upstate. Brad Brownell joining us here. Coach, Willie P. here with you. How are things?
Doing great, thanks. Hope you are.
We are fantastic. I have to be honest, Brad. Last time you and I spoke, I was pleasantly pleased with the way that you handled the end part of last season, and also just the way the offseason has gone, having to overcome a lot of adversity, win a gold medal in an international competition with a less than full deck. What have you been most impressed about with your team in the last 6 months since you guys last took an NCAA floor?
Well, certainly the trip to Italy, playing in the World University Games and winning a gold medal was a remarkable experience. A lot of tremendous, really life memories that we got. And I think it'll be something that will be very special for all of us for a long time, really, to take a group of seven new players and guys who were coming in at all different times, really in the month before we left to go on that trip, and then to be able to put it all together and to play as well as we did, win a bunch of close games and come away with a gold medal. I really was pleased. I think it speaks to the character of the kids in our program, the unselfishness, and really the power of spirit and when a positive group comes together, what they can achieve. So really, that was a remarkable couple of months.
I know that you lose two big parts of your team from a year ago. Where do you see what's left behind kind of emerging when it comes from not only leadership, but also how this team will not only police itself, but look on the floor?
Yeah, it's going to be a different team, and we're still kind of trying to figure out here who all is going to be playing this year. You know, obviously we've got a couple guys that tore ACLs right before we left to go on that World University Games trip, and those guys we hope will get healthy and, you know, possibly be able to help us at some point, you know, maybe December and January. We're still waiting on a couple of guys on their waivers from the NCAA to see if they're going to be participating this year. But I do like our group a lot. You know, I think Amir Sims is a guy who's going to take a big step forward. I thought he was a tremendous player and leader on our trip to Italy. And I thought John Newman took a step forward, really started to score some points consistently and is gaining confidence. And I think, you know, is a guy that's going to be a very good player here. Might need one more year of seasoning to just kind of get out of it but has really developed and is shooting the ball well. I like our freshman class. I really think Chase Hunter is an outstanding young player with tremendous athleticism and speed and plays both ends of the floor, and a guy who continues to get better with his shooting is going to be a guy who scores a lot of points at Clemson. And Alamir Dawes is a point guard that's very gritty and tough and, you know, plays the game the right way coming from New Jersey area. He's played against a lot of really good competition his whole life and is really unafraid and sort of a courageous guard. So I really like our group. I like our team. I like the way that these guys have battled. Tevin Mack is going to add some seasoning as an older grad transfer player to our team and a guy that can make shots and hopefully help us score. So it's a good group, group that plays hard, plays with a lot of energy and probably a little more team speed than we've had the last couple of years.
Talking with Brad Brownell, Clemson men's basketball coach here with you on ESPN Upstate. You kind of sparkled a bunch of issues that I want to kind of stop down on. You mentioned Honor and Moore, the two guys who you're kind of waiting on waivers on. Is there one you feel better about than the other? And not just that, but what is that process like having to go through it here with these two guys who obviously you want to contribute as soon as possible?
Well, there's a lot that goes into it, and there's some back and forth. You know, it's you send in some information, and they want more, and then you got to send more in, and you just kind of got to wait and kind of just see how it goes. And you know, we knew it was going to take some time because of they do all the football stuff, you know, initially, and now they're getting to basketball and been doing that for a while. And we've had some back and forth, and you know, I'm not going to speculate on one or the other. We'll just have to wait and see. Hopefully we're going to hear something here in the next week or two. And obviously we'd like to have both of them. I think that our team strength this season is if we have all these guys eligible is our depth, is being able to play a lot of players. We may not have the second or third team, first team, all conference type guy on our team, like we've maybe had with Marquise Reed the last couple of years, guy, you know, Jerron Blossom game type guy that can really score. But I think we have good depth, and I think, you know, maybe our 7, 8, 9, 10 are a little bit better than we've been in the past. And so we need that. If we can get that, I think we can play a little bit of a more aggressive style on defense, a little more aggressive on offense, and we can counteract maybe not having a superstar player right now.
I know that they've been doing some miracle work over there with ACLs, with Amari Rodgers and what happened with him. How much of that has kind of sprinkled over to Clyde and Jonathan? And you mentioned a little bit on the timetable. What is the updated timetable, at least with those two guys?
Well, both are doing well. You know, obviously Jonathan's happened, I think it was 5 weeks earlier than Clyde's. And so he's going to have a chance to be ready sooner. We're optimistic that he'll be available at some point in December. You know, we'd love for it to be early December if things go well. I think he's off to a great start and seems to be ahead of schedule. You know, Clyde is more, you know, probably early January before he would be available and seems to be right about on schedule with his situation and obviously a little bit earlier in the process. But both guys are doing well. Attitudes are good, and you know, they're excited and starting to move around and do a little bit of shooting and all that kind of stuff in the gym. So it's good to see.
Any other health issues involving anybody else?
Trey Jemison did have a concussion this week, and so he really has not been available to us. So that's a little bit disappointing. We're smaller, and we need some of our size guys, and he's certainly our biggest player. We need him out there. He's a big, strong defender and rebounder, and you know, he's a guy that can help our team a good bit. So we just need to get him back, and hopefully that'll happen here in another week or so.
Talking with head coach Brad Brownell of the Clemson men's basketball team here with you on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the Radio.com app. How important was it for Tevin to finish his college career in his home state?
Well, I think it's, you know, something that he certainly wanted to do, and we're happy to have him. We really have a need for what he can do, which is score the basketball. He's a guy that has a big, strong physical body. He can drive it and play through some contact in the paint. He can make threes. Certainly with Jonathan Bear's, you know, injury, you know, he became even more important to us from the standpoint of another older, bigger guy that can make plays and score. And, you know, I think he certainly has a chance to end his career the right way and kind of do it in a state that appreciates him and wants to see him do well. I think, you know, he's had a little bit of an up and down career. He's gone to a couple different places, had some coaching changes, had some things happen, and he's ready to have a big senior year. And we're extremely excited to have him here with us. I think he's got a chance to really play well for us.
I know you mentioned Amir before, and he's somebody who I think someone whose potential, I think the ceiling is the limit, but I just think a lot of that potential has been unrealized. What's the barrier to reaching that potential?
Well, I think sometimes we got to remember that it's how much opportunity do you have? And, you know, when you're playing with Marquise Reed, Elijah Thomas, and Shelton Mitchell, those three guys are going to dominate shots. And so he hasn't had the opportunity to take as many shots and to be the kind of scorer. That hasn't been his role. His role was to, you know, make open shots when he got them, but really defend, rebound, be physical, move the ball, and play with his skill set. I think now that those guys are gone, it just changes things drastically. It opens things up for the Tevin Max, the Amir Sims, the John Newmans of our team. Those guys are all going to get more opportunities. They're going to be primary scorers. And so more plays are going to get run for them. They're going to have opportunities to take advantage of mismatches. And I think Amir's one of those guys. He's going to be a little bit of an undersized center force, but he's a guy that can shoot the three well. It continues to get better every year. He passes it well. He handles it well away from the basket. So he's going to help our offense because he's going to open things up around the basket. We're going to play a little more of a pro-style five-out offense when he's out there and open the basket area for other guys to cut and back cut and drive it to the hoop. And he's going to stretch some teams with his shooting ability.
Brad Brownell, Clemson men's basketball coach. Clemson opens the season Tuesday, November 5th at Little John Coliseum with a conference game. Again, you can hear all the action here on ESPN Upstate across Greenville and Spartanburg. And, you know, Coach, it's a little bit unique this year. Two conference games in November and December. We heard about the rule change, or at least the schedule change, a year ago. Now that you see it on paper and you're going to have to start preparing for the Hokies here pretty soon, how do you like it?
Well, I like the idea of spreading some things out if you're going to play 20 games. You know, would I love to have a little more information and film on those guys? And they would like the same, probably, yes. The first game being a conference game, I think, you know, it's a nice idea because it's going to, with the whole league doing it, I think it's going to, you know, open people's eyes a little bit that basketball is here and maybe catch a little bigger attention with it being conference games. But at the same time, we all like to prepare a little more. It is different. When I first got here at Clemson, we were playing 16 league games. Now we're up to 20. That's a pretty big jump. You know, it's we're borderline 3/4 of your season is conference games now, and that's certainly a big challenge in this league. But excited about it. You know, excited that our fans are going to get to see us open our season with a game against an ACC opponent at home. So hopefully we're going to get a big turnout. We kind of tried to piggyback off that with two other games that week around the football game. We've also got Presbyterian on Thursday night, and Sunday we've got a very good Colgate team coming in, an NCAA tournament team. So we tried to play three games that week just to kind of welcome the basketball season to the Upstate.
I know I mentioned this before, and just to kind of do it as a full circle way to close out, I know you were very, very candid about the criticism of your team at the end of last year. How do you fuel that or use that as fuel in the best and most possible way, and how much of that do you either shield from your team or do you let them know, hey, this is what people have said, this is now your opportunity to change the narrative of where Clemson basketball is?
I don't know that I was, you know, super defensive. We didn't get to where we wanted to go, which is the NCAA tournament. And so we weren't happy about that last year, and we probably fell a game short. And that's on us. Obviously, what I was defending is the state of our program. Our state of our program is very good. We've won 45 games over the last two seasons, been to a Sweet 16, three straight postseason trips. So I think we're in a good place. We're recruiting good players. We have good kids in our program that graduate, do things the right way. So I'm excited about what we're doing, where we are. We did lose four starters that are seniors that were very good players and guys that helped us achieve all those things we talked about. So our guys understand that, but they're excited. We've got a very young team with a lot of new players, and so there's a lot of enthusiasm in our program, guys that want to prove themselves, do well, that play really hard, and there's tremendous positive spirit after winning the gold medal. So I think our guys are extremely excited. It's just we are balancing all that with some difficult injuries to a couple of good players and then waiting to find out about a couple more guys off the waiver. So it's kind of a unique situation. I've been doing this a long time, and I've never really been in this situation in October, but really excited about our group. Love the way these guys compete and practice, and the spirit they bring every day is fun to be around.
Last one for you, and again, this might be hard to answer without a lot of the unknown involved, but if all the news that comes back is positive, what does the next step look like?
Well, we're just trying to consistently be good in this league. I mean, that's, you know, that's what we're trying to do, and we want to make NCAA tournaments on a regular basis and, you know, continue to battle to do what we can and represent our university the right way. I think our guys understand that, appreciate it, and love to compete in a tremendous league. And so we're excited about this year and where we are. And, you know, hopefully we're going to get a little bit of good news and get some good health and guys bounce back. But, you know, we're in good shape here for the next couple of years. We're going to be fine. This program is going in good places. And I love the young people that have been choosing to join our team. So I think we're, you know, just trying to consistently to get to where we want to be, which is again, battling in the top half of this league.
Brad Brownell, head coach of the Clemson men's basketball team. Always love talking to you. Look forward to doing some more, and looking forward to being out at Little John Coliseum. Appreciate it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
That's Brad Brownell joining us here on ESPN Upstate. ESPNUpstate.com and the radio.com app. Again, your home for Clemson men's basketball here on a daily basis. And look, man, I think he's honest, about as honest as one can be with also trying to promote the program. It's not simple what he's going through right now. That is probably the hardest uphill battle that any team has to go, especially with how awesome football is at Clemson and how much that program casts a very, very wide shadow. So there's no two ways about it. It's not to necessarily say anything bad about the Clemson fan base. It's just you're never going to have the support that football has.
Well, Clemson basketball has flirted with being really good a couple of times over the last 10 or so years, and the fans have shown they will support it if it's good. But the fans are so used to winning at an exceptional pace that anytime you have a couple of losses in a row, you can see the tumbleweeds blowing through that basketball arena.
And I like Brad. I'll be brutally honest. I was very critical of him at the end of last year. Again, it was a different platform than this one. But I was very, very critical of him and the way last year ended and the way that team did not perform up to expectation. But he was very, very candid about it on the way out last year when we had his exit interview on our show. And again, proved that once again here on ESPN Upstate. 844-GSP-ESPN, the phone number, text line 71307. Appreciate him coming on. We also had Frank Martin on the air earlier. We'll replay some of that for you if you missed it. And also, it'll be available on the app after the show. We'll come back, do some opposition research. Ira Schauffele, who covers the Seminoles of Florida State for warchant.com, will pick his brain on the Noles who come into Death Valley this weekend. It's ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. Willie P and Diesel here with you. I'm going to get back into some of the stuff involving the basketball coaches getting involved with the name, image, and likeness stuff here, because quite honestly, this is something that has been brought about with what I would call curious nature, because, and Frank talked about this a little bit, and we'll play some of that for you a little bit later here in the program, but this is something that, quite honestly, is been brought about with some oddness. And the other part of this that I don't like is that too many people are looking at this particular issue and not liking the way that this whole thing goes about. I also feel that the other part of this that really just doesn't necessarily look at and whether or not that actually plays itself out in the positive. The odd part from their perspective is that this doesn't affect the coaches. It affects the players. And the only way it can affect the coaches is if they do what Mark Few does and torpedoes their program. Now, it's not that Mark Few is going to hurt for players. I don't think he's going to hurt for players. But I do think that you do at least have to look at the ability that they are giving us more from that. It is ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com on the radio.com app. We are here on a Thursday, on ESPN Upstate as we get you ready for a little opposition research with Ira Schauffele, Florida State beat writer for WarChant.com. We'll get you to him in just a second. Clemson getting ready for the Seminoles of Florida State, bringing in that program that is a big part of that. And, of course, this is obviously a game that gives credence to whoever is part of the ACC Atlantic. That is obvious to the way that this works. And quite honestly, it's one that Clemson's dominated over the last couple of years. Clemson last year, of course, hung half a hundred in that contest. 2 years ago, won 34-14. Real battle in 16, 37-34, 23-13 a year before that. So this is obviously, for a lot of people, a much different situation than it was before. But this obviously now, from their perspective, I think Florida State likes to think that they at least have more of the players in there for Willie Taggart. So we now bring in Ira Schauffele from WarChant.com to talk a little Seminoles here with us. Ira, Willie P., what's going on, man? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Not too bad. So I know that this is something that Dabo has pumped up over the course of the last couple of days. A 3-2 team that should be 5-0. Where are the Seminoles in your mind based on where you thought and expected they would be at this point of the season through five games?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't disagree with them. I mean, they had a huge lead against Boise State and just kind of squandered it. And then against Virginia, Virginia wasn't a game they probably should have won, but they definitely could have won. So I'd say they're probably about a 4-1 team, and that's what I expected coming into the season. I never thought coming into the year, I didn't think they would win at Virginia. So overall, I think they're about where we expected, knowing how far they had to go. How they got there, though, is not exactly what we expected. They looked a lot worse in those first couple of games than what we thought. Really, the first, the Boise State game, they played so poorly in the second half, and then against ULM, they you know, the second week against an overmatched team, they just played awfully as well. So at that point, I thought they were way behind what we expected. But they've regrouped the last few games, and, you know, I think now they're starting to look like the team we expected.
I'm going to be very kind, probably a lot kinder than usual with my comments about Willie Taggart. I think he had some real definite shortcomings in his first year as this head coach of Florida State. Has he shown evidence that he has overcome those?
Well, he's definitely surrounded himself by a better staff. I think that's helped a lot. You know, Kendall Briles is the offensive coordinator, and Randy Clements, the offensive line coach, have really gotten the offense to where it's at least competent. You know, last year the offense was a disaster in really every way. I mean, they couldn't even get lined up correctly. They certainly couldn't run the ball or throw the ball consistently. This year the offense is solid. I mean, it's, you know, again, we don't know what they'll do against a Clemson or a Florida later this year, but I think that they're so much better than they were a year ago. So I think those hires have really helped them on that side of the ball. The defense looked awful early. Jim Levitt comes in as an analyst, former USF head coach and former defensive coordinator at a couple other schools. He came as an analyst a few weeks ago. Around that same time, things started to seem like they were getting shored up defensively. So I think he's got more help, and I think that's kind of helping him lead this team. But no, I mean, I wouldn't disagree. The last year was really as bad of a first year as you could have, you know, certainly at a school like Florida State.
Can the two quarterback thing work?
I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. My impression of it is, and you know, I think it's because they're so similar. It's not like one of them is a great runner. And, you know, to me, that's when those things work best. And I don't usually think they do work great, but if they do work, it's usually if you've got one guy who, you know, I think back to when like Tim Tebow was a freshman at Florida and Chris Leak was a really good passer. Tebow would come in and kind of run the ball and be that kind of the hammer in the running game. Or maybe you have a guy that's a dynamic runner. These two guys are both pocket passers, so I don't think you really get anything different with either look, except one's right-handed, one's left-handed. James Blackman probably can throw the deep ball better. But where I do think it's going to be helpful in the long term is they need to settle this over these next couple weeks. I don't think Clemson's a game that's a very winnable game for Florida State. So to me, over these next couple games, I would play both of them, see who comes out as the clear front runner, and then go with that guy for the rest of the season. I think Alex Hornibrook did a little bit better than they expected when he got in there, and James Blackman has not played as well as they had hoped. So that's, to me, my impression is they're going to let them kind of settle it on the field.
We're talking with Ira Schauffel, warchant.com, here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. Let's talk about the Noles who take on Clemson. That game, of course, kicks at 3:30. You'll hear it on our sister station, 93.3 The Planet. Can Florida State be competitive in this game without a big game from Cam Akers?
No. I think Cam is the key for them offensively. And I think that there's some glimmers of hope with how teams have run the ball a little bit on Clemson, certainly better than in a couple of situations anyway than they did last year. So I think Cam is really the engine for this offense. If they don't get him going, it's going to be a long day. They certainly can't get one-dimensional. So I think that, it's not a traditional running attack where it's running when you expect it. I think they'll, do what they do, kind of throw some, quick passes, try to get in second and short, third and short, and then let Cam – do what he does, and they kind of get some drives going, get the defense on their heels. But no, he's their best player by far, and they're trying to ride him. They've given him more carries in a couple games than I've seen from a Florida State. Well, he set a record for a Florida State tailback in a game for carries in a game. He's on pace to have the most carries for a Florida State tailback in the season, and I think you'll see more of that. If he's not a factor, then Florida State's going to have a tough time.
Ira, what is the strength of this defense?
The defensive line is definitely the strength of it. I think, those three guys, the main three guys up front, Marvin Wilson, Corey Durden, and Robert Cooper, those are guys that could play or start for most teams in the country. It's a really solid defensive line. They've been really poor at linebacker. The linebacker play has gotten a little bit better the last couple weeks. They've at least, they're not making a ton of big plays, but they're at least not getting out of their gaps. They're playing pretty solid at linebacker. The secondary has a lot of talented guys, a lot of highly recruited guys. They haven't necessarily lived up to that billing. And they're going to be the focus, I would say, of Florida State fans looking at this game. If they're going to have a chance defensively, those DBs are going to have to play to the level that they were recruited to be and really match up and make some plays against, a great wide receiver core. Because the way they've played so far, wouldn't look good in terms of going into this matchup. But, again, those guys have talent. They were highly recruited. They were recruited by everybody in the country for a reason. Now's an opportunity for them to really step up.
And I want to stop down on the recruiting because I know that you guys do handle that a lot at War Chant. And obviously when you have a season like they had a year ago and a coaching change to boot the year before that, you kind of wonder about the up and down EKG nature of recruiting. But you also, the part of that is that you can sell opportunity. How much of that have you seen affect Florida State in the recruiting trail?
It's hurt them. I mean, they haven't been able to sell. I think that the challenge with selling opportunity is you have to be a coach that has the resume to convince parents that if you come here, A, there's an opportunity, and B, we're going to put you in good positions to succeed. Last year was so bad. And Willie Taggart doesn't have that long of a track record, certainly at a Power 5 school, that I think that's really hurt them. It's been a tough sell in some circumstances. What he's done a good job of, though, is really identifying guys that are probably not the elite of the elite. They're not getting necessarily the five stars. They're not in the running for a lot of the top-tier talent, the guys that Alabama and Clemson and Georgia are fighting over. He's kind of dipped down a little bit to the next level. But then really kind of got those guys to buy in and commit and not take other visits. And that's been the key so far. They haven't lost any of their commitments. They're the only school in the state that hasn't lost any of their commitments yet. None of them have backed out. Now the key is they've got to deliver the rest of the season. If the season goes in the tank, then I think they could lose some of those guys. If it goes well, if they can somehow, you know, win 7 or 8 games and go to a bowl game and show progress, I think maybe he can sneak back in and maybe pull 1 or 2 guys that aren't on the radar right now. But it's very much a – he's very much in a, you know, prove it or lose it kind of situation right now with recruits. They have to continue to play well and play better to keep what they've got, or I think other schools are going to start raiding them.
What is the timetable for this team getting back to where Florida State means what it's meant over the course of the last couple of years?
You know, so much of it comes back to the offensive line and quarterback. You know, I think that if you look at, you know, I look back over these last 4 years that Clemson has just dominated Florida State. Well, Clemson's dominated most everybody, but certainly Florida State. You know, the two places where Florida State's been so poor and Clemson's been good is quarterback and the offensive line. And I think, you know, they've got a kid that they've got committed for this incoming class, Jeff Sims, that they really like a lot. He's probably more well-suited for a spread offense. He can run and throw. You know, I think the offensive line's still a work in progress. They've got a couple of young kids that they really like. They're starting a true freshman. They've got another couple of freshmen that are redshirting that they really like a lot. I would say maybe if things go well, you'd say that next year probably is going to be pretty similar, and then maybe that second year, which would be Willie Taggart's, you know, you're talking about his fourth year, assuming he can get to that point, I think they'd maybe be in position to really compete at a high level. I don't see that happening this year, and because of the offensive line situation, I don't think that's going to be fixed by next season.
Do you think he would be around for the next step? I mean, how short is the leash in your mind?
It really, he just has to avoid disaster. I mean, Florida State does not want to make a change from Willie Taggart. There's a lot of reasons besides the financial, which everybody talks about how high his buyout is. There's other reasons. The administration, you know, the university president is set to retire in over a year. The athletic director is probably going to go with him. So I don't think that they want any part of having to make a change before that time. So my guess is they're going to do everything they can to help him, get him into that third and fourth years to give him a real chance. Also, at the same time, the buyout starts coming down. So I think he's fine unless there's a disaster. Now, if they get blown out at Clemson and the season goes in the tank, which I don't think is going to happen, but if it did, then, you know, they'd have to figure it out because season ticket sales were awful this year and they would be even worse next year. And really, that's the, you know, that's the economic engine.
Talking with Ira Schauffele from warchant.com. Appreciate the time as always. Always good to talk to you. Be well.
You too. Take care.
As Ira Schauffele joining us here on ESPN Upstate, ESPNUpstate.com, and the radio.com app. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. Text line 71307. We'll come back. If you missed our conversation with Frank Martin, it was a doozy. He said some things that jive with kind of what we were talking about on Tuesday with name, image, and likeness stuff and what Coach K had to say. We'll juxtapose those pairs of comments next on ESPN Upstate.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Who runs college basketball? Can you tell me? Mark Emmert doesn't run college basketball. You know, Mark Emmert is the president of the NCAA.
Yeah.
So there, you can't give me a name.
True.
And that's a problem because there's no pinpoint responsibility. There's no leadership. So it's run by committee. And so you can't have a $1 billion industry run by committee and have it keep up to date with all the things that can occur within that industry.
That was last year at ACC Operation Basketball with Coach K. Those are comments that we aired for you again the other day, and the only reason I bring it up is because I once again juxtapose it with what we heard earlier in the show from the head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Frank Martin, who is very much a big part of what happens with the National Association of Basketball Coaches, the NABC, as it's termed. Part of the comments that took place the other day from Mike Krzyzewski on the Name, Image, and Likeness, he said that I'm really happy that all this has happened, and also said, in particular, with regards to the NABC, he said that the leadership, he said, I don't think our coaches association is very, very strong right now. This is what Frank Martin had to say when I asked him about Coach K speaking about the NABC and how it relates to the name, image, and likeness debate and what's being proposed right now amongst the working group of the NCAA in response to what happened in California.
I'm not going to get in a public argument, he says, she said, with Coach K, but I totally disagree about the leadership of the NABC. I think the people who run the NABC are working extremely hard to represent us coaches. I would want the coaches like Coach K that have been leaders for our business for the past 30 years to be more aggressive with their voices in helping the young people in our business. And so the NABC, I think, has worked its tail off to create, change in a world of basketball that has changed very quickly. And, we're in the process of continuing to evolve, grow, and change so we can adapt. But I'm not into paying players. I think players that want to get paid need to be a pro. There's numerous opportunities to be a pro. You can go overseas, you can play in the G League, you can play good enough to go play in the NBA. I mean, there's numerous opportunities. At the same time, I'm a big believer in ways, as we've grown college athletics, figure out ways to do more for student athletes. Not just one player or two players, but for any deserving player. And, I've shared opinions before publicly. I'm on the record with some ideas and, I just hope that that's something that continues to change and grow so we can do things and do what's right to continue to make college basketball the great sport that it is.
That is Frank Martin from earlier in the show. You know what I liked about that? This is literally exactly what I said on Tuesday. People like Coach K who realize they have a voice, who realize they have an ability to speak out and have power with their comments, should be more vocal, should have been more vocal way before this ended up coming on the front burner. That's literally what I said 2 days ago. Who runs college basketball? Mike, you run college basketball. It's baffling to me that they don't understand the power that they wield. Or they do understand and they just don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to change the way this works because they already have an inherent advantage. And it's not about anybody but themselves. It's selfish is what it is. And that part of it is where I just don't buy what Mike is selling.
Well, no one on top wants to change the structure because if you're on top and you change something, you have the ability to lose something. You have the ability to lose your seat at the top. Now, there's clearly no indication that Duke or Kansas or Kentucky and that ilk actually would, but you risk something.
Well, the other part of this, too, is that there's this unsaid mafioso mentality when it comes to college basketball coaches. Like, if you and I don't mean to sound almost kind of political, but like if you want to act as a, pardon my use of this term, if you want to act as a whistleblower, you're blacklisted. Like if somebody, and again, I'm just picking a program out in random. If you are a program like a, I don't know, who would be a middle of the road Power Five program that you could throw out there? If you're an NC State's are involved in trouble. If you're a Wake Forest, and you come out and you say, oh well, Duke, they cheat to get players. Or if you're a Kansas State and you come out with, if you're Bruce Weber and you come out and say, well, Kansas, you know, they're paying players. If you do that, you might as well be signing your own death certificate, because you basically have taken away any particular camaraderie that you're going to have inside the particular realm that is college basketball coaches. Because all these guys, they move and shake and try to protect each other. And that part of it I don't like. I don't like that at all. So the fact is, if somebody ever really wanted to come out and actually say something against the particular way that this all works, they never really could with any kind of backing behind them. No one's going to come to their defense. Now, Frank Martin has come out in the past and said positive things about the situation involving name, image, and likeness, but he did make very, very clear his thoughts on what was being proposed by the state of California earlier on our show here on ESPN Upstate.
Yeah, I'm not even going to argue anything California proposes, because they've got more money and more industry than any state in our country, yet they've been bankrupt for 25 years. So the last thing I'm going to do is listen to anything that California proposes. Mm-hmm. We've been already in private meetings before, you know, their governor, instead of worried about getting their state out of bankruptcy, worrying about the 1% the earning ability of 1% of student athletes. We've already had meetings for the last 2 years trying to come up with the right formula that works for everybody. That way we protect the beauty of college athletics, but at the same time change and grow to make it better for those that are wearing uniforms and sacrificing for the universities.
So there you go. Frank Martin, not a fan of California, just to be clear. But again, I think he would like name, image, and likeness put in a situation where they can get endorsements, but in maybe more something similar to what Marlon Kempson put forth in South Carolina, where there's a cap on that, and it's put in a trust, and they can't get it until they graduate and take a financial literacy course. I think he's probably more in line with something of that nature, as opposed to the open-ended nature of what California is proposing. 844-GSP, ESPN is the phone number. It's been a good show, folks. I don't know if you've noticed, but I hope you have. We'll come back and tell you what was left on the cutting room floor. There was a lot that we didn't get to today that we really needed and wanted to. Come your way next on ESPN Upstate. Diesel, do you think that we accomplished everything that we set out to accomplish today?
You didn't say anything about how good App State looked last night.
Correct.
Against Louisiana.
I was kind of where I was hoping you would go.
17-7 defensive slugfest last night, and you didn't say a word.
I'm sorry about that. I'll get to App State in advance of South Carolina's win over them. How about that? Is that okay?
Easy now.
You don't know that. I'm worried about that game. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm worried about that game if you're South Carolina. But who knows? Not today, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Tomorrow, we'll do the postmortem on the Braves with Joe Patrick, Rob Vino with Vegas Perspective, Cole Bryce on the high school. For Diesel, I'm Will. So long, South Carolina.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.